You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening. And this morning I'm speaking to Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, and that's Skulk Lowe. Skulk, Mark is pretty quiet, as steady as she goes. No drama either up or down in many of the international markets. What about the local market? What's the mood this morning before we go to the Stock Exchange News Service?
Well, it's the hurry up and wait type of scenario. When we chat about the volume yesterday, it was around about the 16 billion level. And it doesn't seem to be, you know, a lot different today. So it's sort of more of the same. You know, when we look at the JSE currently, it's fairly, you know, fairly unchanged. We're half an hour in, not much movement on the JSE, you know, and that's pretty much across all sectors. But I think there's been a few, let's call it company reports that came out this morning, which definitely had quite a big effect on all these companies that reported.
Well, I'm going to go time-wise first. At 7:30 this morning, Steinhoff International came out with Pepco Group interim results for the 6 months ended 31st of March. I've become confused about Pepco and Pepco. Pepco has recently listed, hasn't it, in Europe?
Yeah. On the Warsaw Stock Exchange. So for those listeners out there that don't know what the Warsaw or where the Warsaw Stock Exchange is, that's a Polish stock exchange.
Yes, it's the capital of Poland, exactly. Which tells you a little about where their business is done. Obviously, Eastern Europe.
Yes. And we know, you know, why Steinhoff have done it. I'm not going to go into Steinhoff. I mean, this is a company that had its ups and downs over the past, let's call it 3 to 4 years. So it's not a company that we really cover, you know, currently. But I think the most important thing when we look at Pepco, they brought out interim results this morning for the half year ending, you know, 31st of March. And in general, you know, very similar to most retail companies, it did look like they looked a little bit better. You know, when they look at the revenue is about 9% stronger. When they look at you know, the underlying EBITDA, that increased by just short of 17%. So in general, that was a good thing. They also talked about the reducing debt, and that filtered through to Steinhoff this morning. Steinhoff up, you know, 2.5% this morning. So in general, I think that's good for Steinhoff.
Very good indeed. Here's a company that you do cover, I know. And if you don't, you should cover. But I know you do cover it, because when I read this, just sit down and take a deep breath and listen to this. As a result of the above, and in accordance with paragraph 3.4b of the JSE Limited Listings Requirements, shareholders are advised that headline earnings and basic earnings for the period are likely to be at least 12.602 billion and 12.612 billion higher, at least 150% higher in brackets respectively than reported headline earnings and basic earnings for the comparative period, and so it goes on. The company, of course, is Kumba Iron Ore. Extraordinary margins these people are making.
And what an iron ore results. I mean, this is good. I mean, really, really good. I mean, so yes, I mean, this is a massive spike, but we sort of expected this. I mean, look at the recent movement in iron ore price, or copper price, not that it's got to do with Kumba, but I think, you know, I think more importantly, when we look at this, why I actually like this is the fact that, you know, this is a company that is still cheap now. You know, if iron ore price stays at these levels, this is a company that is currently trading at a 8, you know, 9 times, you know, P/E and forward P/E. More importantly, dividend yield is closer to 10%. And you know, for those who don't know, the largest shareholder in Kumba Iron Ore is Anglo American. So this will be extremely good for Anglo American as well as they hold, you know, Kumba. Not just for the fact that the results are looking good, but it's such a great dividend payers, you know, or companies, you know, the holding companies or mining companies like Anglo, they do like these dividends, because either they can use this to expand their portfolios or eventually, you know, become a bigger dividend payer themselves. So I actually liked it. So Kumba, although I'm not a direct shareholder in Kumba, we do, you know, hold Anglo American's one of our biggest holdings in our portfolio. So as a shareholder, I'm extremely happy with that. And just for those listeners out there, currently Kumba Iron Ore is trading at 600 well, 627 Rand. So that's basically, you know, 1.5%, 1.6% up for today.
Very good indeed. Growth Point Properties Limited, the blue chip of the bluest of the blue chips of the South African property portfolio, came up with an investor update for the 9 months ended 31st of March. The share price on my delayed screen down just over 1% to skulk. The jury's out on property, isn't it? I know you've been fairly bullish. In fact, your jury has made its decision. PSG Wealth, I think you like the recovery story. Have you had a chance to look at these numbers in order to validate your view?
So, Lindsay, just to clarify what you just said, I think, you know, last time we chatted, we did said we started to nibble. So we're not, you know, if you want to call it at weight, we would still find ourselves in an underweight position.
Okay.
But we have a weight in property and more specifically in Growth Point. I think a few things stood out for me in this. I think the most important thing is basically they said it would likely take years for the absolute GDP to return to pre-COVID-19 level. So this is not good. They also said that the South African business will remain under pressure for the next 12 to 24 months. So firstly, this is expected. I mean, the share price is still trading, you run about, let's call it 14.50, 14.60, 14.70. This is a company that's been trading, you know, at 30 Rand levels not too long ago. So do we see, you know, a lot of these, you know, this bad news being priced in? Yes, I do think so. Do I think that this will be a sharp recovery, as you just mentioned earlier, or let's call it a sharp recovery back to previous levels? No, I don't think so. I do think, as previously stated, I do think that there will be a few hiccups. I mean, yeah, we're sitting yesterday, we had, you know, COVID numbers that came out, and this is unbelievable when you look at these numbers. I mean, yesterday, you know, 17,493 new cases in South Africa. And to put that into perspective, this is not only the highest levels, you know, since 14 January, you know, earlier this year. This is now the ninth largest day. You know, there was only eight larger new cases days since the pandemic started. So this is a massive, massive movement. And just for interest sake.
And just before, you know, we go on, winter has only just started. So, and these are also reported cases. Maybe there's certain rural areas of South Africa, which are still quite well populated, that might not be reporting the cases simply because of logistics. So this is a very, very disturbing number. Skulk, before we go into the details of that, I mean, obviously the impact on the economy is going to be enormous and also on people's lives. But is there going to be another lockdown, do you think?
Lindsay, it's sort of currently, I mean... Luckily, I don't have to make those choices. I mean, there's going to be hard choices to make, but this type of numbers, I can't see how we're going to be able to evade a let's call it at least a level 4, you know, lockdown soon. Mm. I mean, this is massive numbers and really, as you mentioned, disturbing numbers, and predominantly only Gauteng currently, because you know, of this, let's call it 17,000, you know, odd people, 17,493 new cases yesterday, 10,807 alone was in Gauteng. So the rest of the provinces haven't really followed yet, and if we do see a follow, I personally can't see that we will be able to evade a, let's call it a level 4. You know, really hope we don't see another level 5. But I think back to Growth Point. I mean,
yes,
because this is how we all started. I mean, they mentioned, you know, why they struggled. They how they say that, you know, we are still, you know, 50%, the footfall in a for the let's call it properties are still 50% lower than the 9 month period to the end of March 2020. So this is still bad. Although they say, well, that they've seen, you know, we are now moving back to, let's call it 70-75%, you know, of the comparative 2019, you know, period. This is still really, really bad for a property company. Now, last mention was more specifically mentioned towards their biggest property holding, which is the V&A Waterfront. You know, you're going to struggle as a property company. You're going to really struggle if you're running with 50% you know, footfall and 70% footfalls and those type of scenarios. And I do see, you know, things like possible further restrictions imposed on South Africa, you know, for COVID-19, not being necessarily being a positive for the likes of a Growth Point. So, yes, I do think that a lot of the negativity that we're seeing around is you know, mostly priced in Growthpoint. But do I see, you know, a few hiccups, you know, with possible further restrictions imposed on South Africans? Yes, I do think that as one. That could create, you know, a better buying opportunity. So I think for listeners out there, you know, sitting with their trigger fingers ready to buy, you know, get a value in the market, I think they might have some better opportunities in Growthpoint soon. For the long-term investor, I would not be selling at current levels at all.
Okay, so do nothing, in other words. Sit on the fence, be patient, and just wait for things to pan out and maybe have a look again in September once summer starts in South Africa. Let's have a look at the spot prices. Skulk, the dollar rand is 14.25. The British pound against the rand is 19.89, and the euro rand is 17.01, with the euro dollar 119.45, which has barely changed in the last 24 hours. British pound against the dollar 139.60. Last night in the United States, the Dow Jones was down 0.2%. The S&P was very slightly weaker and the Nasdaq was very slightly higher. This morning in the Far East, Tokyo flat, Shanghai flat, the Hang Seng up very slightly, and the All Share in Sydney dust down very slightly, so nothing going on there. Okay, commodities now. The gold price, $17.78, which is up just $3 per ounce. Platinum is up $19, let's call it, to $1,076 per ounce. Good to see you. It's had a really good week. And palladium is where, please, Skulk?
Yeah, palladium also about $6 stronger this morning. We're currently trading at $2,618 per ounce.
West Texas crude is $73.45 a barrel, up 0.5%. Brent crude oil, $75.52 per barrel, up just under 0.5%. Bitcoin in recent days has gone from 29,500 up to 34,500, currently 33,160 odd, which on the day is down 2.4%. The US 10-year bond yield, which has also had a fairly checkered recent history, is 1.50%, albeit 0.01%, so 1.499, in fact. And the SA bond market is not on my... Oh, there it is, I've got it. 8.97%, so that's doing very little as well. 2 basis points higher for the yield there for the South African 10-year. 8.96 is the latest update, in fact, on my screen. The Commodity Research Bureau Index is as follows. While I refresh my screen, Skulk, I still think that this thing is intact, personally. I keep on saying it until otherwise advised. I do believe that the CRB index, which is a basket of commodities, is going to stay. It's just below 221, so doing very little as well. So market's very quiet, I think, is the message we're getting across here, Skulk.
Yeah, I think, you know, one or two companies that stand out. I mean, you're going to mention the top five, you know, best performers and worst performers.
Yes.
I think the one we haven't chatted about is you know, Old Mutual this morning. I mean, up, you know, 6% today.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a massive movement.
That's a big move for a big company after yesterday's update.
Correct. But another update came through where they released the announcement that they're going to unbundle, you know, some more net group, you know, out of the company, you know, to shareholders.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you. Old Mutual can also announce the further unbundling of their stake in Nedbank, with Old Mutual Emerging Markets Limited planning to unbundle via a dividend in specie, a 12.2% stake in Banking Group. Now, you know, they will still hold, you know, about 7.2% of Nedbank, so this is not a total unbundling, and they will do that through the main company, the Old Mutual Life Insurance Company, South Africa. So that had a massive, massive effect. I mean, this just shows you, I mean, we've been chatting about these holding companies, and not that Old Mutual is a holding company, but we've chatted about these holding companies, the like of the critique that likes of the Naspers recently received with a fancy proposed, you know, structure of a company that Naspers is holding is going to buy, you know, shares in themselves. The bottom line is, if you want to unbundle, if you want to unlock value for shareholders, if the share price is not doing what they should be doing, you unbundle those shares, give it back to the shareholders, and that's the best way of unlocking value. And the share price is reflecting that this morning. I mean, massive, massive jump in Old Mutual. And then I think one of the biggest losers, and I don't think that's initially got to do with you know, why it's the biggest loser. But biggest loser today on the market is mostly gold companies, because we've got Harmony, We've got Pan African Resources, we've got Gold Fields, Anglo Gold, all of them in the let's call it the top 10. But Harmony Gold that's down today 2.7%. Basically yesterday, you know, well-known asset management company, Fairtree Asset Management.
Yeah.
For those who don't follow Fairtree Asset Management, this is a company, you know, besides the fact that they've recently been winning Raging Bulls, top performing equity managers in South Africa, just go and have a look at their funds. Their funds have done phenomenal over the past, you know, 5 years, 10 years. But they announced yesterday that they're increasing their shareholding in Harmony Gold to just over 5% now, to be exact.
That's a big stake for a relatively small company.
That is a big stake. I know they the company, I think on the last fact sheet that I saw, their total exposure to commodities, or more specifically materials, I think is around about the 50-51%. So they are a, you know, highly exposed materials asset management company, which has done well for them. But yeah, 5% shareholding in Harmony. That's not a small shareholding.
Gold shares look really beaten up, don't they? And just when they look beaten up, you should be buying them. Just when they look so fantastic, that's when you should be selling them. They do look cheap, don't they, Skalk? I know you agree with me on this one.
Yeah, Lindsay, I mean, the one thing that we've found, I mean, yes, last week we've seen some volatility in gold, specifically after Biden. We're not going to chat about that again. But I think the most important thing that I want to get over to investors is when you look at our local, you know, let's just take the biggest two. If we take Anglo Gold and Gold Fields, you know, they mine, or what they call, you know, all in sustainable, you know, cost. They're all in cost for mining this gold is anything between $1,040 and $1,070. So let's call it $1,100 per ounce. This is what it costs these mines to actually get the gold out of the ground. Yeah. Currently at 1,800, which we said earlier, $1,875 per ounce. These guys, the free cash flow that these mines are, you know, currently, you know, generating is phenomenal. And I don't foresee that as, you know, changing soon. You know, if the gold price do stay at these current levels, I do think it's you know, companies that, or let's call it investment, that I would definitely have in my portfolio currently.
Very good. Let's have a look at the top five major movers after 50 minutes of trading. On my 15-minute delayed screen, Old Mutual, which you've already spoken about enthusiastically, up 5.75% on my screen. South 32, up 4.5%. The diversified South African commodity miner. Bites up 2.5%. Kumba Iron Ore, up 1.5%. Textainer up 1.3%. On the downside, Harmony, down nearly 3%. DRD Gold, down 1.8%. Goldfields, down 1.6%. Anglo Gold Ashanti, down 1.3%. I think you can spot the trend here on the downside. And Sibanye-Stillwater, which is a white and yellow metal miner, down 1.3%. So, yeah, there's the day. Anything you're looking forward to this afternoon, Skalk? Any data coming out? Any results? What are you expecting?
Yeah, I think the BOE this morning, they're going to announce their interest rates. I don't think, you know, anybody's expecting any action from that side. I don't think we're going to see a rate cut from the BOE. But I think it'll be very similar to last week's announcements, you know, from Biden, to get a general idea, you know, I like using the word dovish and hawkishness. We just want to get an idea of how the BOE, you know, going to foresee the rate cycle. I think that will be, you know, that's something that we were looking at. I think the PPI figures, you know, from our side, that we're waiting for that as well. Initial jobless claims, that'll be out, you know, to call it 2:30 this afternoon. And then, the GDP levels, GDP numbers coming out from the U.S. So that, I think, is going to be an interesting one as well, because we know we want to start seeing, you know, from a U.S. point of view, we want to see unemployment reduce, and we want to see that GDP numbers come in, because without those two, you know, these stimulus, you know, it's not going to have the effect that they wanted to have. So then we're only going to sit with inflation. So that we all know is a big problem.
Yes, it is. And in South Africa, it came in yesterday. The CPI inflation rate came in at 5.2%. Most people say that that was a base effect, and also it is going to have peaked then, but we'll see. But we're more or less in line with the United States, which is very unusual indeed. Skulklu is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, and that was the opening. Skulk and I will be back together on Wednesday evening next week for the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.